May we help to commence our weeknight worship by singing together hymn number 1077. Hymn 1077 to the tune Daniel 459. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only Thou the way can show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. Teach me, Lord, with all to part. Tear all idols from my heart. Let Thy power on me be shown. Take away the heart of stone. Hymn 1077, tune Daniel 459.
Thank you. With the Lord's help this evening, we'll read together from his holy word in the book of Psalms, reading Psalm 39 and Psalm 40, and also Psalm 62. Psalms 39 and 40, and Psalm 62. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily every man that is best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and set out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not there thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindnesses and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, and therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And turning also to read Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will he imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain all of you as a bowing wall, shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. I trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, a Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. May God's own blessing rest upon the reading of his holy word, and may help us and teach us in prayer. O thou most gracious and most merciful Lord God Almighty, we do pray thy help to come into thy presence at this evening time of worship, as thou hast spared us and helped us through another day of time and thus far another week of time, that we may come in his appointed way and gather in thy earthly courts here amongst the gathering of thy people this evening. Oh, may it please thee to gather with us, Lord Jesus, and may indeed the gathering be unto thee, to that praise of the glory of thy grace, to that glory of thy great and holy name, who art all glorious in the heavens, and art to be glorified here in the earth. Oh, that thy name might be glorified in our hearts this evening, in our midst as we gather before thee, seeking to bow in humility and humble confession of our own hearts of sinfulness and of shame, that wander hither and thither and go astray. Oh, do turn us and bring us unto thee, we pray thee. Grant the eye of faith and the heart of faith and exercise, that it may be ever looking unto thee, most gracious Lord, desiring to be amongst those that come saying, Serve thee, would see Jesus. Oh, may that be our heart's desire this evening, that we by faith may behold thee as we read of those truths of thy word, the things that tell of thy coming here in the earth, things of thy wondrous grace that thou dost give to poor sinners, that they might find that hope in thee, that blessing from the Lord, that which must surely flow out of thy great loving kindness. O dear Lord, we do pray thy blessing may be upon thine own word, and we may be humble before thee because of that great wonder of thy mercy, giving the word of truth to be found before us, as that whereon thy blessing is promised, and that whereby we come to seek thy great salvation to be revealed, and that those blessings of power and mercy might be those which our hearts desire to hear again and again, as thy word is declared, it has been spoken once and many times heard. The psalmist could say twice he has heard it. Lord, have we not that great benefit of thy word to hear from thee again and again the same sacred message of truth, that we poor sinners be humble before thee in the dust of self-abasement, and thou be exalted in our midst, most gracious Lord. Exalt in each of our hearts as we gather before thee, and each who join from home on the remote service also, we pray thee. God, may we come as one into thy presence, we do beseech of thee. And now that we may be found accepted in thee, Lord Jesus, the beloved, we do pray thee. Then as we come each as unworthy and helpless sinners before thee, needing that deliverance from our own stony heart and spirit, our own coldness and deadness before thee, pray in mercy, grant a clean heart, we do beseech of thee, a right spirit, that knowledge that we are born of thee and that our treasure is above, that we may be enabled of thee to once more seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. And there was only the blessings of providence that we desire to be ever grateful for in thanksgiving, for the kindness of the Lord to us in the land of the living, that we have those many privileges given us. Oh, that we may praise thee, the great giver, and seek those best gifts, we pray thee, those needful spiritual blessings from thee. Oh, that wondrous gift of eternal life that thou art, Lord Jesus, to be bestowed in our hearts, the hope of glory. Oh, may there be a heart given us to seek thee for this blessing, and to receive it of thy good hand, we pray thee, thou art pleased to give it, to bring it forth by thy great power. For within ourselves is no good thing to desire it, but thou canst give the heart that longs for it and feels the need of thee. So, Lord, may we blessedly feel thou art in our midst, we pray thee, fulfilling thine own word of promise to be in the midst of the gatherings of thy people, even the twos and the threes, Lord, with that same great blessing, and Jesus in the midst. Oh, may it be even so this evening as we are favoured to gather before thee around thy word. Oh, do make known that thou art in the midst, we pray thee, to give the eye of faith, the hearing of faith, the words of faith of thy word, we pray thee. That word of thy power we do beseech of thee, and hearts that desire to hear it. Lord, humbled spirits before thee that acknowledge our own personal sin and shame before thee. O Lord, while we are those with unclean lips, next generations of unclean lips and hearts. And yet, O Lord, the eye of faith beholds the King in his glory. Sees he who is holy and spotless and perfect and glorious, and the thrice holy God has declared from heaven, and the one who we plead for to appear for us as a great high priest over thy house forever. One that is homely, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. Oh, do in mercy appear for us as such, we pray thee, as one in all thy glorious perfection, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. And then our each uttermost soul this evening as we gather before thee. I hear those uttermost cries, those uttermost trembling hearts that fear before thee. We wonder whether was appeared for them. We say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. We hear thy own blessing out of thy word, we pray thee. And so give us that enabling to wrestle with thee, that we, like Jacob of old, would not let thee go except thou bless us. And as we return again to thy word and thy house, O Lord, may it be that continuing of wrestling that has gone on in the times that we are away in our homes and in our lives. Oh Lord, we need thy blessing. We need thy divine approbation upon us from above, and to give peace in our hearts and souls, to prepare us for eternity and for thy will, and to make us ready for thine appearing, that last great day that hastens upon the earth, and time hastens on to its end. And so eternity draws near us each, you know, that we may be made ready to stand before thee, and made right before thine appearing, we do beseech of thee. O Lord, we may have that sight of thee, thy precious faith, and yet see thee face to face in thy heavenly glory. O gracious Lord, do shine upon us, we pray thee, as thou hast shone in the earth with the natural sun. O do shine, thou Son of Righteousness, with healing in thy wings. Bind up broken hearts, we do beseech of thee. Pour in the oil and wine of the gospel to every open sore that sin has made. And all that is a weeping sore, Lord, do, dear gracious, with that balm of Gilead. And bind up, we pray thee, and pour forth thy power and healing mercies. Lord, do bring those blessings from above, we do pray thee. Oh, fulfill thine own word that I am the Lord that healeth thee and forgiveth all thine iniquities. Lord, do be with each of us in assembling before thee. The friend of his office in the desk, be his strength and helper in his continued pathway, and encouragement, so we pray thee as he goes on, we do beseech of thee. The friend of both thy servant in his labours and ministry from the walls of Zion, do give that anointing with fresh oil, we pray thee, and that blessing as he proclaims thy everlasting gospel. And that safe travelling up and down the land, we pray thee. And so, Lord, that blessing for each who gather, that they may be blessed for the hearing time, a blessing from the Lord. Be those that partake of the gospel feast, be given those times of refreshing. But there we are but poor men that stand before others, that they can't see them with the bread of life, that they may lose sight of the means, or those that stand here and or in the desk to read the word, do speak mightily out of those things that are attended to. O Lord, thy name be glorified, their souls be fed. Be thy quickening power in thy word, thy blessing in the hymns, that liberty at the throne of grace in pouring out souls before thee. And each case richly met, we pray thee, those families and young friends and little ones, be with them each, we pray, watch upon them. As soon as they grow up, quickening into life, and make those provisions and those future pathways that thou wilt appoint them to walk in. And guide them continually, we pray thee. And be a strength for each who carry those many burdens in their pathways, and showing forth that it is a burden could be cast upon thee. Thou art undertaking in it, most gracious Lord. And thou art going before to make the crooked thing straight and the rough place plain. So Lord, do attend unto each need and case, we pray thee, giving strength and healing to afflicted and sick ones. And with us given that measure of strength to continue it, we pray thee, and bring that blessing in body and mind and spirit, we do beseech of thee. And help, O Lord, to be those that are enduring unto the end, for they were said the same shall be saved. You bring but wandering ones to thee, yet returning ones unto thee, and even to this thy house of prayer, we pray thee. Your prayer that the empty pews be filled with praying souls, and those that pass by the doors and live around about may yet be those brought into a concern in their souls and for eternity. They're standing before thee, the only true God, a holy heart searching God, and that we may all likewise be in that great concern to be found ready and right at thine appearing, we pray thee. Help us, O Lord, to pray one for another, to yet give a praying heart for each one of us, we pray thee. Leave us not to rely upon the prayers of others. May we feel that great need ourselves as poor helpless needy sinners, and prove thee to that gracious God that the psalmist has spoken of, whose hope was in thee, who was enabled to watch and to wait in the way of faith, and to prove thy good hand to appear for him. O Lord, we come in that like spirit to seek thy blessing this evening, to feed our souls with the manna of thy truth. Pour out thy spirit from on high, we pray thee. Give that to be heard and done in thy great and holy name. Bless others who meet in a like manner this evening, and help thy servants ministering. Give restoring to those who are laid aside. Raise up others to stand upon the walls of Zion, we pray thee. Gathering yet more to hear the word preached, we do beseech of thee. Then revive us and refresh us again. Deliver us from our solemnities, heal the breaches. O Lord, shine forth from on high, we pray thee. Give wisdom to our rulers and all in authority. And turn yet the hearts of the people of the nation to thee, the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord God of our mercies, who so bountifully provides every providential blessing, that we may not mock thee with our ingratitude and presume upon the things in that, O Lord, ignorant, indifferent spirit of thee. But yet many eyes be opened to be humbled under the mighty hand of God, and brought to, O Lord, that repentance of sin, that godly sorrow over sin before thee, in that desire to know thy great mercies, we do beseech of thee. O Lord, you shine upon thy people in all places where thou hast placed them. May none feel out of the way or cast away, but, O Lord, under thy watchful care and kind keeping, Lord, you shine forth, we pray thee. And so pour upon us thy spirit as we seek to continue to meditate in thy word. Do open our eyes to see those wondrous things out of thy law. Grant thy blessing in the hymns that we sing, and oh, do attend to each case and each need, sending us answers of peace and thy rich blessing, we pray thee, that there may be honour and glory and thanksgiving and praise unto thee, from whom those blessings do so freely flow, that in all things, Lord Jesus, thou wouldst have the preeminence, and that thy name alone be glorified. Oh, we do beg mercy in the forgiveness of all that is amiss. Do make up the gift when one fails to ask. Do answer each cry and each sigh. And draw near and be with us, we pray thee, for thy great name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn number 398. Hymn 398, tune St. Columba 899. Dear Shepherd of thy people here, thy presence now display, as thou hast given a place for prayer, so give us hearts to pray. Show us some token of thy love, our fainting hope to raise, and pour thy blessings from above, that we may render praise. Hymn 398, tune St. Columba 899.
Thank you.
pleased to help me this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a subject you'll find in the Book of Psalms, and in Psalm 40. We'll read the opening verse, verse 1 of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Reading the first verse in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The word before us seems a great contrast to what we read in that previous Psalm of 39, wherein he ends in that urgent way of prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. The activity of faith in the soul is under the Lord's power, and he brings into these places of his power to give this gracious experience, to prove that the grace of patience is given in the midst of tribulation, which no doubt this psalmist felt much of in the expressions that we read around about this word this evening, and thereby had to prove that he must wait upon his God to graciously appear. And as we read in that 7th verse of Psalm 39, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. Oh, how he saw that urgency and that great need of the Lord to graciously appear. So on the one hand, we've seen that lively activity of faith, that the expression before us was not then an indifferent and careless waiting, but a patient waiting of faith for the Lord, for no other. For vain is the help of man. None could bring any deliverance but the Lord his God. And how do we come this evening in that same spirit then of the dear psalmist, that is in the Lord only that we look for his help? We have to need to heed the exhortation that we read of in Psalm 62, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Or the waiting soul that must watch and wait there will only find a hope in Almighty God's appearing. And joined to this expression then of his patient waiting, which we may feel is so afar off, won't we feel, and what surely is in our hearts, when there is so much impatience in our hearts to wonder whether the Lord will ever appear. And how our own spirit gets hold of the matters of our pathway and interprets them a wrong way. But the Lord himself is one that we later read in prophecy of Isaiah, that he waits to be gracious and will have his people to be a patient waiting people upon him. For his way is perfect, his timing is perfect. The psalmist has said already in the earlier psalm that his times was in the Lord's hand. The upstanding, the down sitting, the going out and coming in, the sorrows, the joys, and are they not still in that same hand of his power, his authority? And so with this opening expression we read also, and he inclined unto me. He was not one that declined the cry of his heart, as the devil is telling us tonight. But he is one that has an open ear to the sighing of his needy people, and expressed in that latter verse that we read, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, inclines unto me, leans toward me, comes toward me. And in that verse that follows then we read there, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And oh, the word of God is the treasure house of the Lord's wonderful works, because of his wonderful thoughts. And thoughts indeed they are of love and mercy, and to give us that expected end. Or what we read on in this psalm, of course, as the gracious loving kindness of the Lord, or the wonderful kindness of God in his great mercy of compassion, but putting mercy together and love in that wonderful word, loving kindness, which of course the hymn declares, oh how great, how numerous, how expansive, and heard my cry. This inclining was to show that God had given the cry. He put the psalmist into this place to cry out unto his God. He put him in that place that we read much of in Psalm 107, of the troubles that were being used to bring the soul to prayer. And those instances that I listed to name them, but a few of those things that God sanctifies and uses to show that it was not the trouble alone that gave the prayer, but the power of God in it to touch the heart, of a heart that was melted and poured out before the Lord, that came to wit's end corner and helplessness, but yet was given the cry that, as a destitute cry, was so graciously then regarded of the Lord, and not despised, not cast out as one that viewed it only as a prayer of desperation, and not the reality of the cry that was in the depths of the troubles that were being passed through. Oh, he brought me also up out of also of an horrible pit, and put out of the miry clay. So in these words before us then, we read in the first place this word of profession, I waited patiently for the Lord. And in all aspects of what we find then concerning ourselves, we will feel to be failures in the matter. But here is that language of reflection in faithfulness unto God, who graciously upheld him to wait and watch for the Lord's appearing. And then we read those many things that God does. He does incline his ear. He inclines unto me, his heart, his all. He hears such a cry. He brings up out of that horrible pit of self-pity and of our own sinfulness, with the devil's roaring out of the miry clay that seems to clog our feet and make us to stumble and fall, and sets those very feet upon Christ the rock, and establishes my goings, puts a new song in the mouth. Praise unto our God. God is being glorified in all that he is doing, and he will have the hearts of his people to give glory, to render praise, honor and glory unto him. Oh, may we be given the grace of a softened heart that ever glorifies the Lord for his mercy that endureth forever. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord, and what was in one poor sinner's heart will be a gracious effect in others. I know how we need that real example in our lives to be a gracious encouragement and a light to others, that there may be others that fear and trust in the Lord. And he come this particular person then that is really described in that fourth verse, as blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. He is the one that is patiently waiting upon his God, though he feels to fail in that in every aspect. And respect is not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Here he is then in this continued pathway of faith. And what we might say then goes between the latter part of the previous psalm and this, not knowing it, whether these things are said, of course, in a way as they took place in the life of the psalmist, but nevertheless we have the experience put together here by the Holy Ghost to show that he gives this urgent cry, and he gives that enabling to wait the Lord's time in those urgent cries. Though there be those exhausting cries that we later read, that feeling in the midst of the trouble and trial, the very sins of his heart that hang so heavily upon him, those innumerable evils that compass about my iniquities have taken hold upon me, so I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You may say, well, where is this language before us then? I waited patiently for the Lord. Well, it is to show us again and again that the interpretation then of God's word is not left to us, but it is God who brings the true meaning of it in the experience as he reveals it to us, and that we have to prove then our much failing, our much impatience. But God's upholding hand that enables us to watch on and wait on in hope, that it is not just an indifference in saying, well, it will happen anyway as the devil tells us, or if we use the test of time then, well, we can stand still and it will all take place. It doesn't really matter because things will just occur anyway. And so the natural spirit then has its own conclusions, but the grace of faith in the soul views that God will have all of their heart fixed upon him. And in it the many confessions of the soul, in pondering the grace of patience, and we read much of it in the New Testament, in the epistles, that links it so clearly to the path of tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Oh, that through tribulation there is patience found in watching and waiting. And what we may surely say, well, it's the opposite. When we are in trouble, we are fretful, we are in this spirit then that we have read of. Oh, awake for my help, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence. What are we waiting for? My hope is in the Lord. And then what this patience? But the Lord appoints those troubles to point out then there is a great uncertainty in them concerning our own hearts and thoughts, and that God knows the certainty of all things, and points us to see then that the tribulation's pathway he has set for us to walk in is to show much of our uncertainty concerning ourselves, our frailty, our own spirit, and as we have read of it then, the vanity of man and the spirit of ourself, but of the divine certainty of the Lord himself, whom we read of here then as bringing up his servant here from this low place where he was to wait patiently upon his God. Not a comfortable place, a horrible pit, miry clay, much sinking, much being shut out and being alone, and yet brought out to be set upon the rock and establishing my goings. That the things the Lord is doing is bringing profit in reality in the heart. That though we have many fears yet, there is a standing upon the Lord Jesus Christ that is to glorify him. And as we come this evening, then can we not say that hitherto hath the Lord helped us in this way then of much tribulation and fearfully, feeling not much patience, but he declares that let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, that it will not take place all at once, it will be continued in the way, or the need of waiting for the Lord, as it expresses here, I waited patiently for the Lord. I did not seek to go before him, did not take the matters into our own hand. It was one that waited in that way of faith for his time and his way to take place. We know the great matter of faith is accounted much to Abraham in believing God in the promises made to him, and how he would be the father of the faithful, the promise given him that God's blessing would flow yet through his spiritual seed, and Christ would become upon the earth out of his loins, though as yet he had not a son to show that. And in his own spirit of not waiting patiently, then there was Ishmael through their own thoughts. But God's way was to give him Isaac in his old age, as he must wait patiently for his God to freely give that. And in the gift that God makes, so he tests his faith to show whether his love was truly to Isaac, whom he had long waited for, or Ishmael, whom he had once said, "Let Ishmael live before thee." And so he was to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and to offer him there upon the altar. And God's own test of faith to Abraham that he walked obediently in. And where we read of the sacrifice and offering here, then, that the Lord did not desire, showing that it was not in those many offerings and sacrifices that were given, and they were God's ordering and God's appointment, as but a shadow of the reality that he is and would show himself to be. And even in that case, of course, of Abraham, he was to lay him upon the altar and bind him and raise the knife and then be prevented. Isaac was to be spared. Oh, how it shows that God views in the things of our hearts and desire and our intents the reality of what our heart is doing. And he saw that trueness of the love in Abraham's heart to what he had given in the gift of Isaac, and the spiritual blessing that was yet in it. And truly it was in his heart when he went up Mount Moriah, was to hear then a patient waiting upon his God, when he said to his servants that they should remain there, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Yes, they were going on to worship. Would they both come again? Surely, Abraham, you're going to slay your son there. He won't come again with you. But as we read, of course, in Hebrews 11, he had that faith to believe that God was able to raise him up again, having received him, as it were, from the dead, being in old age. Oh, what a waiting patiently for the Lord is viewed then in the way of faith of his dear people. Or they're not seeking to take their own course of his own spirit and self. And oh, may this evening the word of God speak like this to us then, that we take not the matters of our pathways in our own hand, our exercises of soul, but may we patiently wait upon the Lord in prayer to answer them, and prove him to be this faithful God that does answer them, that waits himself to be gracious, knows when our heart is ready to be a heart then that is blessed with an answer. And in the patient waiting then for the Lord, he has this intimation that he inclined unto me, that he was not discouraged in his prayers and his exercise of soul. That you could yet view what the Lord had done in so many ways, which were according to those thoughts then which were to usward, or coming from heaven, were in mercy and in love for poor sinners to hope in God. So for these that should watch and wait amidst all the uncertainties that troubles and trials bring, that because the Lord permits them, he so uses them to show that he is above those troubles and trials, that though the devil makes the worst of them, and we are to be taught and to tremble over our sins that we see are in our troubles and trials, yet the God who stands above it yet inclines unto such a poor trembling soul, because he don't leave one of his lambs or his sheep to perish in the midst of the fears that they have. Has he not said, "The Lord Jesus, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that he, being the good shepherd of his sheep, has that never-ending love to watch over them. They should be given this grace of patience in their heart to wait, and wait for the Lord. Wait for him to come. And oh, how poor and helpless we are in this great matter. Oh, that we could once remember hearing the late Mr. Philip Hope of Reading take that text at London Hill, and cast thy burden upon the Lord. And he began in that way, oh, that I could. And we might say in this word this evening, oh, that I could wait patiently for the Lord, where the Lord will bring us to the end of ourselves, seeing that we cannot do this. But dear David had to express this as a part of this new song that was in his mouth of praise to his God, that he was enabled of the Lord to watch and to wait for the Lord to appear. He would not let him go except he blessed him, as it was with Jacob. He saw there was no other that could help him. No other helps would be of any benefit, all would fail. Here was the vital help. It is the Lord. Oh, the Blessed Father, Son and Holy Ghost, as we now know of in the New Testament truth. The Lord Jehovah then declared here, the great I Am that I Am. And oh, the wonder that even He, such a almighty one, a heavenly one, a holy one, when in the height of His heavenly glory, yet to that glorious merit of His dear Son, that ever brings the blessing for His dear people as poor helpless sinners, He inclined unto me. Oh, He refers straight away then to the Lord's wonderful appearing. You might say the beginnings of it. Oh, do we know the Lord inclining unto us this evening? Has He dried our hearts all the more in our petitions? Lord, help me. Does He bring us all the more to feel the need of that help? Or if we come this evening then beyond the help, then saying, well, we've been helped before, we do not need it again. Surely proficiency shows me that the Lord has set me in the right place. I've got all I need in Christ. I can go on my own way, and if I think I need Him, I will turn again. And so is the spirit then of our sinful self, our religious self. But His blessed spirit then of the faith of God in the soul, the life of God, the life of Christ in the soul, oh, needs this evidence that He is inclining. Oh, He is yet one of these thoughts to us, Lord. That He is one who we longingly look for and to, and have those glimpses that He yet looks upon us. And really, of course, you could have read Psalm 34, where He expresses so beautifully the matter before us, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. That He is inclining unto His trembling, waiting people, and one who views all that is about His people. Another one of those places in Scripture where we read of the Lord looking and listening, and having that view in a perfect way, and a knowledge of all that is being breathed out of the heavy laden soul, as He will have it casting its burden upon the Lord. And yet, of course, we may say, well, in that expression, of course, His eyes are upon righteous ones. This patient waiting one is not righteous, he is helpless, he is sinful. But that is declared as the Holy Ghost views them in the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in His righteousness, by His view, by salvation. And set before us to clear up the matter then in that 34th Psalm, because the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all those troubles. And we might say, well, of course He does, because they are that right character. But again, that is the witness of the Holy Ghost in seeing the justified soul in Christ. But the Spirit does not fail to give the view then that the soul feels. In verse 6, and we read it as this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He knows how His dear people are to feel, and brings His truth down to their level to show His thoughts are toward them, He's inclining unto them. He sets the standard of holiness, He does not come down from it. but he enters the hearts of his people as they feel so poor and helpless and needy, because he will, in inclining unto them, look upon them. Oh, show that his ear is open toward them, and heard my cry. So the waiting patiently for the Lord then is with many a cry. Oh, sighs and cries, as the scripture speaks of it, to express then that the great matter of the gift of the breath of prayer in the soul, though it be not always then with an outward voice, yet the inward heart then moves to the Lord under the Lord's Spirit's power, under groanings which cannot be uttered so often and yet known of the Lord, cries and sighs within, yet the ear of the Lord discerns that cry that is waiting patiently for the Lord, that is in a longing, hoping spirit for him to graciously appear, that is one then watching in waiting, of whom we read then in Isaiah's prophecy that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, when perhaps we feel the matter of waiting is weakening us all the more. And because he does not come straightway, we cannot surely wait any longer. We must be consumed. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength. Weakness is set on. Where is the renewing of strength? But you see, he knows how to empty us of every natural strength, every imagined strength, to prove the strength of the Lord, the strength that he is putting us upon then, Christ the rock. Or our hope and trust is in him and him only, that we are being set in that place of certainty then of the Lord never leaving and neither forsaking his dear people. What we read of later, of course, in the psalm here then, of the great wonder of the Lord's blessing in loving kindness. He breaks out into that path then of prophecy concerning Christ, the Lord Jesus, that there he comes again to show that he does not want to continue in the path of sacrifice. He comes to bring a sacrifice. But the chief thing is, it was the matter of obedience. Remember how that the Lord had dealt solemnly with Saul, and he had spared some of those Amalekites, and Samuel went out to meet him, and Saul was boasting of what he had done. But Samuel discerned the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle, and knew that he had not done what he has been commanded. The Lord had told him. And so he spoke that word that it is better than to obey than to sacrifice. Oh, to ask the Lord that delight in such a thing as obedience. And his desire then was to show sacrifice, we might say. We might say we sacrifice much in our lives to be amongst those that fear God. But his command to us is obedience. And really in the Lord Jesus Christ we see that put together, because he follows the command of his Father's will and sets in his own sacrifice an end of all those Levitical sacrifices that were referred to. Sacrifice and offering that is not desire. So as we have this word before us this evening, I waited patiently for the Lord, we may say we have sacrificed much to wait patiently. But the Lord is not going to answer us because of our sacrifice. He is going to answer because he will out of his loving kindness, and through that love he will give an obedience in our hearts to him, a drawing of that love to obey him, to follow him, to be like unto him, to hear his voice, to seek to know what the Lord's will is. And so that is clearly pointed out in what the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of here then in prophecy, that we read the apostle expound so beautifully in Hebrews 10, that then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Or I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, or the testimony then of those eternal realms has laid up this truth, that he was in the covenant will of God to come, but it was in his delight to do thy will, the will of the Father. Yea, thy law is within my heart. This is he who came to preach righteousness in the great congregation, and to not refrain his lips, O Lord, thou knowest. In that lesser matter, of course, David was waiting for the great king to declare such a truth. But he had not come then to lay down his own life a sacrifice, as we know in the Lord Jesus Christ in doing so. But all that which is declared then in the preaching of the word is the faithfulness and thy salvation have not hid thy concealed thy loving kindness. Oh, that patient waiting of the Lord upon his patient waiting people. That loving kindness fixes their hearts in that place to watch and to wait. And thy truth from the great congregation, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see, except there be that given of the Lord, then we cannot in any wise wait patiently for the Lord. But oh, because he hears those cries in the patient waiting for these gracious blessings to be given, then there is an aiming of the soul to wait patiently. Oh, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Oh, for a new leader have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me. The great weight of them, the view that he has by this divine enlightening. And how much the more then we have the need of the waiting for the Lord to show that precious blood of his dear Son is cleansing us from all sin. A view of our sin that he has given us again and again, to view the more of that he sees the whole of, that we might have a right confession of it, acknowledgement before him, and that we have to plead that we will not let him go except he bless us, that there might not be one of those sins left unforgiven. I know how they are to weigh down the heart then before the Lord and put us in that horrible pit, that miry clay. And yet in waiting patiently there is yet a rock to be set upon as he brings up out of those low places and shows that he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is this one with that which is greatest than all other in such a loving kindness and blessing for his people. Oh, they may be with the truth then continually preserving me, or as our Lord Jesus Christ is this blessed truth, and he who puts the truth in the soul of his people, or shows that it is not a matter left to deceive us, but is undeceiving us through his own influence. So what an ear he hath then to hear this cry, oh, this pouring out of his soul. Begins with this blessed profession, but it soon and straightway then acknowledges that this is so because of all that the Lord is doing. I know that we had a glimpse this evening that the Lord is about his work, it never ends. Oh, may have to mourn that withdrawing of the Holy Ghost power, but may we not misjudge the Lord in a day of small things, as if he never worked. Or that he would work greater and clearer, we might say. But then we are to realize how poor our judgment is of the Lord's work, who in all wisdom worketh mightily, and is to be continually hoped in and looked for and waited upon. And as we felt to read that Psalm 62, it gives so much exhortation for us to be in that spirit then of expectation of a God then that has heard our cry. That though we feel like Jeremiah so often that the cry is shut out of heaven, and the devil will tempt us of course and tell us that it never enters heaven, but what a mercy God's ear then condescends to the earth to hear this low place that his people are in, that giving the desire from heaven, the cry yet reaches heaven. It ascends that ladder that Jacob saw. It comes up from the depths then into heaven itself through Christ. And thereby is that blessed grace of hope in the soul. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. His waiting then was upon this divine certainty of the unmovable God, the unchanging God, the almighty God. The glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, who so graciously inclines and hears sighing and crying souls. Knowing the fears of the heart of the raging of the devil. In their only spirit then to cast down those that are right and God himself and dethrone him. My soul, wait thou on me. I waited patiently for the Lord upon God. That prompting and reminding that we need to be kept here in this watching, waiting place, for my expectation is from him. Oh, what is our expectation this evening? Oh, has it been disappointed by what we have heard? Oh, may it not be disappointed in God, it never can be. When we look in a natural sense, it will be, but a spiritual sense we'll find it will always be something that God will do more than we can really realise. There is so much more in him and his word that our eye first sees and needs much grace to pray over to have it shown to us and to show that this expectation then is his to fulfill and his alone to show the blessing of. Yes, surely the fullness is in heavenly glory. Time is but a veiled place and limited place where our hearts have not the room for the expectation that God has to reveal. The prophet writes it in that way, that eye hath not seen nor ear heard what the Lord hath laid up for them that wait for him. And when the apostle Paul reiterates that word in his writings, he uses the expression that love him. The same matter, waiting upon the Lord, my soul waited only upon God, I waited patiently for the Lord. There's that soul that loveth God, that wondrous gift of love, and it fixes the heart upon the Lord to look only to him and to give him no rest until we have that sense that he is looking and listening, inclining and hearing, drawing near to us to answer and to bring us up then out of all the depths that we sink into. Trust ye in him at all times, ye people. We find this exhortation given us to show that all our hope, all our desire, our standing is to be alone in a faithful, gracious God. We have heard that blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Continue in this patient waiting. Pouring out your heart. Emptying out every inward feeling, sigh and groan. Oh, he appoints these places that they should be, as hearts poured out then on the ground like water spilt, feeling that who can gather it up? But the Lord gathers it up himself. He inclines, he does not leave any to be lost. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Safety, hiding. Oh, a great rock to stand upon, a rock to shelter in, a cleft in the rock, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, a gracious all and all then to our soul, to such a poor trembling soul who fears to be but anything but patiently waiting upon the Lord. But oh, he who puts his people there is yet when he will incline unto them, will bring them into this experience we have here, and he inclined unto me, even unto me, even unto unworthy me, and heard unworthy my cry. And so it is, the blessed inclining and hearing then is not upon the grounds of our persistence, though we are always to pray not to faint, but of his wondrous love and the gifts of his grace through mercy, that he would listen because he will listen. He will incline because he would incline. Because the sweet sense of it is then to incline our hearts all the more unto him. And to show that this is he then whom the psalmist could tell of. That God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For they render to every man according to his work. And is God not a God then who has given us his word? He does not repent, he does not turn back upon it. But oh, does he not cause us then to twice hear it? Or that we have the need to hear God's word again and again. And what a blessing the certainty then of God's word that he has spoken, that causes then it to be heard that multitude of times by a multitude of people, that witnesses this same great blessing of God's power, that is God's power, not ours. It is what we are waiting and watching for. God's power over our sin, our hearts, our unbelief, our own inability, our own weakness, to be a great power in his love, his mercy. And is shown then also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Not just the mighty warrior then that he is to defend his people against their enemies, as we read of in Psalm 93, one that rides majestically or in a kingly way, as a great warrior that fights the battles of his people, the Lord reigning. But the Lord also come in that great way of mercy and compassion, to show his tender heart that inclines unto the trembling sheep. On the one hand then, the boldness of the good shepherd to stand against every foe and to stand between danger and his sheep, and yet to still continue his tender love as a good shepherd to his dear sheep, that they should be blessed with the comforts of his mercy and his compassion. Oh, the truth of God is put before us then, that we should be set in this way then of waiting patiently for the Lord, that though the tribulation is given to work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and those orderings of the Lord must take place, and we fear then how can there be any patience in our tribulations, but sanctified pathways of the Lord then is giving us that enabling to see that though those troubles rise up and rage, yet he remains the same to come in his own calm and quiet way to deliver his people. That though we have those many fears that arise, they do not cause his heart to fear. He gives that gracious confidence of faith that we read of in Psalm 46. God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. One, though he knows the trouble is there, does not desert his people. Presence of the Lord in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Oh, because he is present with his people in their trouble, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, the man be carried in the midst of the sea, the many things to be turned upside down, inside out. What we might summarize in that expression of the Lord Jesus Christ, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the truth of God standeth forever. Oh, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Christ, the word endureth forever. Then this is he then who stands with his people, that they should by grace then be able to be this soul waiting patiently. I waited, and we would have to wait again and to watch again. And as we look back, we will say, well, surely we could have been more patient. We were so foolish to tremble in this matter and that matter, to fear where no fear was, as our hymn writer expresses it. But yet to see here is a God who is so graciously watching over his people and showing to them that he is inclining and hearing, and therefore to bring them up out of the low place, to their horrible pit, the miry clay. Oh, to show that they're standing yet in their patient waiting is upon Christ the rock, upon a rock. That though in our fears and our feelings we feel to be sinking and see the solemnity of our sins that cause us to sink, yet he remaineth the same. He is ever the same. And therefore he puts this new song. Oh, the song of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And as Joseph Hart puts it in one of our hymns, I believe that if the redeemed do not say it, then who will say it? If these who have so much done for them do not declare the praises of God, then who can declare that praise aright? Oh, may our hearts be so opened and softened to give the glory unto the Lord, even praise unto our God. Oh, many shall see it and fear. There might be a gracious influence one upon another, that the Lord is thinking upon this and that poor man and woman, that this and that poor one has cried, and the Lord has heard them, delivered them out of all their troubles. He's come in this way of his appointment to show himself all glorious and gracious and merciful, and so full of his great love to poor sinners. Well, may the Lord bless his word this evening. May he forgive all that I have spoken that is amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 9. Hymn number 9, tune Truro, 426. I will read the second, third and fourth verses. We sing the whole hymn now. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh how great! Though numerous hosts of mighty foes, though earth and hell my way oppose, he safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh, how strong! When trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh, how good! Hymn number 9, tune Truro, 426.
He saw me ruined in the fall.
Do forgive and pardon all though to see amiss in our worship this evening. Do bless to us each thine own word of truth. Oh, watch over us now as we go on our way. Bless those at home who disconnect from the service, and give that good night's rest to each one of us, that safe journey to us who travel this evening. Do guide us each by thy counsel, and afterward receive it into thy glory. Oh, may thy grace, Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us forever. Amen.